ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, entitled Lord Krishna's Explanation of the Vedic Path, Text Number 9. Karmanyaha Gunavan Kalaha Dravyataha Swata Eva Va Yataha Nivartate Karma Sa Dosho Karmakaha Smritaha Karmanyo Gunavan Kalo Karmanyo Gunavan Kalo Dravyatah Swata Eva Va Dravyatah Swata Eva Va Yato Nirvatat Yato Nir Yato Nivartate Karma Yato Nivartate Karma Sadosho Karma Kahasmita Sadosho Karma Kahasmita Karmanyo Gunavan Kalo Dravyatah Swata Eva Va Yato Nivartate Karma Sadosho Karma Kahasmritah Karmanyo Gunavan Kalo Dravyatah Swata Eva Va Yato Nivartate Karma Sadosho Karma Kahasmritah Karmanyaha suitable for executing one's prescribed duty. Gunavan, pure. Kalaha, time. Dravyataha, by achievement of auspicious objects. Swataha, by its own nature. Eva, indeed. Va, or. Yataha, due to which, time, nivartate, is impeded, karma, one's duty, saha, this, time, doshaha, impure, akarmakaha, inappropriate, for working properly, smritaha, is considered. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, like Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate, either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia for the performance of one's prescribed duty. That time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. Translation, please repeat. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate, either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia for the performance of one's prescribed duty. That time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. Purport. Having discussed pure and impure places, the Lord now discusses different qualities of time, Certain times, such as the Brahma Muhurta, the last few hours before sunrise, are very auspicious for spiritual advancement. Other times, not auspicious in themselves, become so by achievement of material prosperity that facilitates one's mission in life. Political, social, or economic disturbances that obstruct the execution of one's religious duties are considered inauspicious times. Similarly, a woman is considered contaminated just after childbirth or during her menstrual period. She cannot perform ordinary religious activities at such times, which are therefore inauspicious and impure. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all times is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one neglects the loving service of the Lord, being carried away by sense gratification, he is certainly living in most inauspicious times. Therefore, that moment in which one achieves the association of the Supreme Lord or the Lord's pure devotee is the most auspicious time, whereas the moment of losing such association is most inauspicious. In other words, the perfection of life is simply Krishna consciousness, by which one transcends the dualities of time and space caused by the three modes of material nature. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter, Krishna is describing various good and bad, or various things which support your achievement of material results, and that which doesn't support, which are conducive and which are not conducive. And previous to this, the chapter was pure devotional service, and it was shown how it is above everything. So as we see in Bhagavad Gita, so in the end Krishna says, just leave all sorts of religion and surrender unto me, or bhakti yoga is the highest. So that was the conclusion. But here already the conclusion is mentioned, but still Bhagavatam is going on. So it's like it's hidden, you know. So it's hidden, the conclusion of bhakti yoga is hidden for the qualified people. The unqualified, they cannot understand. So that's why in the middle Krishna mentions that, and then further goes on. Then later on within this canto there is another chapter, Bhakti Yoga. Then still Krishna goes on. So this is like it's hidden, because this knowledge of Bhakti Yoga is very confidential. As in Bhagavad Gita it says, Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam. So Raj Guhyam means it's the secret of all secrets. So it's the topmost secrets. So to understand it, one has to be very qualified. So then to him everything is revealed. Otherwise there is like a curtain. Krishna puts a curtain, and so you can't see him. So by doing bhakti, that curtain comes off and you can see Krishna like that. So in previous chapter, Krishna describes how there are three paths: Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, and how Bhakti Yoga is topmost. Now in this chapter, there are various items described for those people who are not following Bhakti Yoga or Gyan Yoga, which leads to perfection. People who are very much attached to material enjoyment. So if they are attached to material enjoyment, so they are doing fruitive activities. Fruitive activities are, you are doing some activity to attain a fruit or a result so that you can enjoy, basically. So for them, in the introduction of this chapter, it's written, for those who are doing bhakti, they just do bhakti, that's it. And slowly get purified and then do pure bhakti, like that. But for those who want things from this material world, they are interested, they are still, they are dazzled by these glittering, momentary traps that Maya sets for them. They are very much attracted by the things of this material world. For them, there are many considerations, many positive and negative items which help them to get those results. So they have to be very careful. But devotees who are doing bhakti yoga, they just have to do bhakti and Krishna will take care of the result and he will reciprocate, like that. But for people who want these material results, so now it's explained how in previous verse Keshav Prabhu was discussing about the auspicious and inauspicious places. And this verse, today's verse, it describes auspicious and inauspicious time, like that. And then next one will be about auspicious or pure or impure object. So all these things these people have to consider. But as said in purport, devotees are above these dualities of time and space. So any time which is conducive for Krishna consciousness, so that's pure, like that. So like Subhag Maharaj was saying yesterday, for devotees, every day is like a festival. Other people, materialists, karmis, they are just waiting for some auspicious moment, and they are waiting whole year. But devotees, every day it's like a party, Start 4:30, Brahma Murtha, start with singing, start the day with singing. I also remember like when I came first time, I was very new, I had visited temple few times, maybe in the evening or afternoon time, like that. But the first time when I came in the morning, it was I attended Janmashtami. So a couple of times I had come to temple and then I attended the whole festival of Janmashtami and Prabhupada's appearance. So that was like a very nice experience. So then after that festival, I came to the morning program once. That was around when Guru Vanna was being sung, around 7:15, like that, 7:20. And when Guru Vanna slowly builds up in the end, then it says, Aha Prabhu, Korodaya. Then it's like building up. It's like devotees are just jumping like that, starting to jump. So at that time I entered. So I saw it was building up. So I thought, okay, another festival is there today. Like, because I had attended Janmashtami, so I thought this is another festival. So it was okay. So then I came and Krishna Katha Prabhu was there. So I asked him, "Oh Prabhu, what's today?" He said, "What do you mean, what's today?" I said, "What festival is today?" So he said, "There is no festival today." He said, "No festival? Then all this is going on. Why is this?" So he said, "This happens every day." Oh, and that I was amazed, I said, this happens every day, then why not, be a part of it, like that. So that's how devotees are always enjoying. They are not waiting for a moment, that when will that time come and I'll enjoy. For devotees, every moment they get this bliss, like that. But other materialists, those who are following this scriptures, who are at different stage of, they are at different level, they are at a neophyte level. So according to their level, they have to follow these very basic rules, they see which is the right time to do this and do that. They put so much effort into that. And even lower than that are you can see many people around, most of the people, they are not following scriptures, but they also look for these auspicious times, you know. All, if you see people in general outside, non-devotees, so to say. So what they do? So whole week they work hard, and then they wait for the auspicious moment, which is the Friday night. That's the auspicious moment, you know. And then, or the weekend, or they'll work whole year and they'll save, you know. And they're waiting for the big auspicious moment, which is like Christmas break is coming. They want to go to, you know, for a holiday. So they are waiting and working so hard for that auspicious moment, so that when that moment comes, we'll enjoy. But that's so momentary, you know, it comes and goes, you know, it just flies like that. But when that moment comes, what do? Very low grade of enjoyment. That's what they try to achieve. It's like flickering. You know, they go on a holiday, within 1-2 weeks it's over, you know. Then they have to come back again, like that. So even in that auspicious moment, so-called auspicious moment, they don't enjoy, for which they work hard. So that's because of lack of knowledge, you know. So like in Bhagavatam, there is a very nice verse. It says, you know, shoved varavoshta karai samsuta purusha pashu nayat karna patho peto jatu nam gadagraja. So it describes the mentality of such people. They are like, you know, dogs, hogs, camels and asses. And then in purport, Prabhupada writes, Shastra doesn't exaggerate that, you know, they're just comparing to these animals. You know, it just sounds very derogatory, you know. But Prabhupada says in purport that this is not an exaggeration. And then he explains how people are acting like those animals, you know. Like a camel. Camel eats thorns and he thinks he's enjoying like that. So same way, people are working so hard and they think then they are enjoying, but they are not enjoying. There is a pinprick at every moment like that. And other animals, you know, the hog, he doesn't have any discrimination, he eats anything. You know, same people these days, you know, they eat anything, you know, anything and everything. So Bhagavad Gita says, like, food in different modes of nature, you know. These days, most of the food items are in the mode of ignorance. It says, Yatiyamam gatrasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. These people in the mode of ignorance, what type of food they like? The puti, it's like bad smell is coming, it's like decomposed, untouchable, like that. So they put a dead body on the barbecue and so much bad smell comes. Actually in our ashram also, you see the next door, someone every weekend, there's such a bad, it's like a burning rubber, you know, something like that. Very bad smell comes. It's like decomposed thing. And then they eat that, like that. And in one lecture, Prabhupada was saying the eating habits are so bad, really decomposed thing, they eat like, you know, anyway, not to be described, I think, the very decomposed things. So basically they are trying to enjoy, but they suffer more by these ignorant activities. And the auspicious times for these materialist people are also opposite. Like in Bhagavad Gita it says, you know, the time of awakening for a sage is like a time of sleeping for, you know, ignorant people in general, like that. The same we see, we wake up early in the morning, and that time people would be sleeping on weekend, like that, 4:30, you know. So this is totally, they are totally in ignorance, and they don't know what is auspicious time like that. So another description in Srimad Bhagavatam about these this auspicious and inauspicious time is there, like about when there's the description of demigods and the demons. So they are always fighting with each other, always have they always try to fight with each other, you know. Demons are trying to harass the demigods, but demigods are like mixed devotees. So when they are in trouble, they approach Lord Brahma, and then they all of them go to Vishnu and try to get solution. So it's described when they were fighting and demigods were they were about to lose, and then they then all of them went to Lord Brahma and then went to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and then in the end they there was this churning of the milk ocean. So in the churning there were many things which came out. So then Dhanavantri came with the pot of nectar, and demons are very mischievous, they just snatched it from him, and then they tried to drink the nectar. But then Lord came as Mohini Murthy, and then she tricked the demons and gave the nectar to the demigods, and then demigods drank that nectar and they became very powerful. And after that, seeing that, the demons were very angry, and then they attacked the demigods. But this was a good time for demigods. The time was in their favor. So then they were very powerful by drinking this nectar, and they were defeating all these demons. But after that, by doing a yajna and by mercy of Shukracharya, their spiritual master, they got back their lives and energy, and they did a big yajna, and then they got this strength. And with Bali Maharaj, he was the leader. So all the demons now attacked the demigods. They went to heavenly planets and attacked. And just by seeing them, they were coming with full force. And by seeing them, Indra and other demigods, they went to their spiritual master, Brihaspati. And then they said, you know, these demons look very powerful. It looks like we won't be able to defeat them now. So Brihaspati said, yes, actually, you're right. Now the time is in their favor. So they have done this big yajna and they are very powerful. You won't be able to defeat them, so you just leave. So then they assume different bodies. They can change the bodies actually. Demigods can change their bodies. And then they left. And then Bali Maharaj and the demons just captured the whole heavenly planets, everything, and he became the leader. So after that, then Lord Vamandev came and he tricked Bali Maharaj. And so then the demons again got angry, and then they tried to attack Vamandev like that how can you take the whole universe from Bali Maharaj, you know, like that. So then actually Bali Maharaj said a very nice thing about time, like how now he said now time is in their favor, you know, because Lord is at their side. So it's a very nice verse. I want to read that. So Bali Maharaj said, no one can surpass the time, the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortress, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. So that's, he was very intelligent actually. He knew that now Supreme Personality of Godhead is on their side, so you won't, this time is not good for us, we won't be able to win. So he stopped them to attack and he surrendered everything to Lord. So Lord is actually the time is Lord's one of the energies like that. And so we need, if we surrender to Lord, we need not worry about auspicious and inauspicious time. So that's why Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parichadya Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So if you surrender to Krishna, you don't have to consider all other small details, which is auspicious, which is inauspicious. Everything will be in the line, like that. Another example from Mahabharata, like how when the war was going on and Karna's chariot wheel got stuck in the mud, like that. So then he came down to get the wheel out of, you know, where it was stuck. So then at that time, Krishna said, told Arjun, although he doesn't have arms, bow and arrow, you kill him. So then Karna said, you know, you can't do it. I don't have any weapons. So in general, according to the rule of Kshatriyas, how they fight, they fight among equals. The person on the elephant will fight with the person on the elephant. Like the person on the horse will fight with person on the horse. On the chariot, you know, like that. And if someone is on the foot, so the person on the chariot will come down and then he will fight with him. So it has to be among equals. So, and also the sun, the sun was setting, and the rule was the fight has to go on from sunrise till sunset, like that. So sun was almost down, and so Karna said, "You can't see, time is over. You know, sun is setting now." But Krishna, because it's his time, time is his energy. So the sun again came up, you know, on his order. And time, place, circumstance doesn't matter at all. He said, because he is on the side of irreligion, you kill him. And then he killed. So according to time and place, circumstance, Karna was right. But because Arjun was with Krishna, who is the controller of time and place and circumstance, everything, so then he could kill Karna. Actually, Karna was much more better fighter, better archer than Arjuna. But still, because he was on the wrong side, he was defeated. So, so as long as we are with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we don't have to worry about auspicious and inauspicious time. We just have to follow the rules and regulations of bhakti very nicely. So then everything is auspicious, like that. So what happens, the people who are not following Supreme Personality of Godhead's orders, so they are under material energies, you know, the laws of material nature. So they are under different laws. And devotees are under Krishna's, under Krishna directly. Krishna deals with devotees directly. But with the non-devotees, material energy deals like that. And material energy is just like a machine. So that's why these rules are so intricate. If you, at a proper moment, you do the right pious thing, you get this pious result. It's like a machine, you know. You do this, this happens. You do bad thing, bad happens. So this is like material energy. But with Krishna, the reciprocation is different. You do this much bhakti, but Krishna gives much more. so he gives many times more, like that. And also Bhagavad Gita says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante te tam satayam bhajamyaham." So as you reciprocate, if you surrender to Krishna, he actually reciprocates much more. So how Prabhupada also used to say that, if, you know, if you take one step, if with, you know, one hand, what can you give Krishna, you know? But if Krishna, oh sorry, if Krishna gives you so much, how, what can you collect with one hand? He will give you so much. If you take one step towards Krishna, he will take so many steps, 10 steps, 100 steps towards you, like that. So he gives much more. And he gives what we don't expect sometimes. So we have general this mentality, you know, I'm doing this, So Krishna, you give me this. So this is like the actually the conditioning, because from billions of lifetimes we are we have been interacting with material energy, so we are in that mood. Okay, we do this, so we get that. So same mentality when, you know, in devotional service we try to do. Okay, so I'm doing this much, I'm doing chanting, I'm being a good boy, good, you know, like that. So Krishna, you give me this. But then when Krishna doesn't give that, you think, you know, is it working? Does this process work? So actually Krishna is, you know, it's working, the process is working. But it's just that we don't know how Krishna is reciprocating with us. So Krishna gives much, much more. Like that. So only thing we have to see is how they, you know, this change, if we see when we came in touch with Krishna consciousness, and now, if we just make it a habit every week or something, every Sunday, just think, okay, what happened to me, you know, in this period, and then see how Krishna has actually reciprocated within this short time, you got so much, like that. So, in purport, it says, the perfection of life is simply Krishna consciousness, by which one transcends the dualities of time and space. So this duality is only in the material world. In spiritual world or in Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. So this time, you know, auspicious, inauspicious, good, bad, this only exists in the material realm or material, in material consciousness. If someone is Krishna conscious or in the spiritual world, this duality doesn't exist. So this whole material world is described like, you know, it's like a inverted banyan tree, you know. So when you see there's a lake, and on the side of the lake there is a tree. If you see the reflection in the water, it's upside down, you know. So that's like that. So original tree is like the spiritual world. And the tree which is upside down in the water, the reflection, that's not a true, actual tree is not there, but it looks like there is a tree. So that reflection is like this material world. So when we think we are the body, so we are actually in that illusory, in that reflection basically. And we are thinking the reflection to be the substance, you know. The actual tree is the substance, but the reflection is just a reflection. It's not the actual tree. If there are fruits on the tree, you can go pluck the fruit and taste it. Enjoy the nectar. But if you try to get the fruits from the reflection, it's not possible. You dive in the water and try to get the fruits. There are no fruits there. It looks like there are. So same way, in material world, when the living entity sees, oh, there is enjoyment. And that's it. A moment, and then we have dived in that water like that. So now we are in that water trying to get the fruits. But there are no fruits. So that's why people are trying to enjoy, but there is no happiness, you know. And how, why it happens? Says, Matra sparshas tu kaunteya, shitoshna sukdukhada, agma payino nitya, sthansi tiksha subharata. So, it happens because of sense perception, you know. We're thinking this, we are the body. So that's why we are into this duality. We think heat, cold, you know, summer, winter, you know, good, bad, all those things. So this comes only by sense perception, by thinking we are the body. In the spiritual world, there is no duality. Everyone is a servant. It's no consideration. Man, woman, you know, peacock, tree. Everyone is serving Krishna. That's it. Jivira Swarupoit, Krishna said Nityadas. So, we are eternal servant of Krishna. So, that's the absolute, on the absolute platform. So, same we can practice here as well. So if we, at every moment we try to serve Krishna, so that's, we are acting on the absolute platform. And there is no consideration of time or duality, any sort of duality like that. So another thing mentioned here is, Now, although when we surrender, this bhakti yoga process is above the considerations of time, but still, like here, purport starts with how certain times, such as Brahma Muhurta, is very auspicious for spiritual advancement. So, although we are above time, and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that for chanting there are no hard and fast rules, you can chant any time, you know. So, why do we then stress that, you know, chant in the morning, in the Brahma Muhurta, you know? This is because the day is also like divided in different modes. So, morning time is like in the mode of goodness, Brahma Muhurta. So, that's why we come in the Mangal Arati. Mangal means auspicious, that's the auspicious time. So, we wake up early and we chant. Because we are conditioned, so we are not transcendental to these three modes actually. So, it's best to use that auspicious time, the time which is in mode of goodness in the morning. And then, when we make advancement, then, as in Nectar of Devotion says, you chant 24 hours, then all moments of the day are like auspicious, like that. But till then, if we strictly follow this regulation that we chant early in the morning, wake up early in the morning, attend Mangal Arati, so then the consciousness elevates like that. And then we come out of this duality actually. So it's a very tricky thing. Although we are following the rules of duality, you know, day, night, like that. But by doing that we come out of this duality like that. So that's what Acharyas described. And Prabhupada was stressing. Once in, I think, San Francisco, the second center where he went, just before opening the center, and I think it was first or second day, Prabhupada was there, and only initial few devotees were there, Mukund Maharaj and his wife. And so then in the morning, the next morning, Prabhupada woke up early and everyone else was sleeping. There were two couples, I think, they were sleep. And one of them actually, one Prabhu woke up and he said, "Where are others?" He said, "They are sleeping." He said, "No, wake them up. They should come for Mangal Arati," like that. So that's why it's very important. So, because we have this conditioning of being in modes of passion and ignorance, so by pushing little bit, organizing our life so that we can come to this Mangal Arati and, you know, chanting in the morning, so then we can at least come to the mode of goodness and then transcend that mode of goodness like that. So I'll just summarize what we discussed today. We just discussed how this auspicious and inauspicious time, and everyone is following that, and people, those who are following these scriptures for attaining these fruitive results, for them it's applicable, these auspicious and inauspicious times. And also I wanted to mention also actually in Bhagavad Gita it says about the Ashtang yogis who follow this you know, dhyan and pranayam, other processes. In 8th chapter it describes how they also look for this auspicious moment, and then they leave the body and go toward, you know, the planet they want to go, like that. So even these yogis are looking for these auspicious and inauspicious time. But then in the next verse it says, for devotees there is no consideration, you know, jivo va maro va. For devotees doesn't matter if he dies or lives. He's serving now, and after leaving the body, whichever body he gets, he's serving. So it doesn't matter. You know, but still, as we saw, there are some auspicious times which are conducive for our devotional service. So we should take full benefit of that, and you know, and advance quickly like that. So I would like to end there and ask if there's any questions or comments.
Yes. You were mentioning about the Karna and the Arjuna fighting in the end of the day. Actually, I would like to add that he was minded in this, then he was almost making over the sacrifice. Then five of the farmers fought with him and killed him.
Yeah.
And Karna was knighted because he was one of them. Where were the rules then? So if you, yeah, you didn't follow the rules, you don't expect the rules to be followed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, actually, all Krishna's actions were justified. It was Abhimanyu was just like a 16-year-old boy, but he was such a powerful fighter that he was almost defeating them. So five of those big, and they were not like ordinary fighters. All the big ones, Karna, Dronacharya, Jayadrath, everyone has to combined effort they had to, you know, restrain him. Remember exactly. So you are asking whether he was waiting for auspicious time to leave, something like that. No, I don't remember that. What I know is, I think Krishna came and then he wanted to leave in front of him. So, anyone else want to add on that? Oh, any other questions or comments? Yes, bro.
One comment is, as you said also, Srila Prabhupada says, when you pray to heaven gods, they can give you whatever you want. But when we pray to Krishna, he gives you only what is best for us in our interests, spiritually. Mm-hmm. Whatever we should go for the heaven gods.
Yeah. Said in Bhagavad Gita, that's very inappropriate and for unintelligent men. Like this, it's very hard. Any other points? Yes. Understand. So you are saying, is there a practice? Yeah. It's like when we come to devotional service, it's not like we are purified fully, so we still have so many material desires. But Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kamava moksha kamudardi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So we are following all the rules, all the process of bhakti, but if we have some desire, we come to Krishna. So we approach Krishna. Even though we have desires, we still should approach Krishna. We shouldn't approach anyone else. So what happens? Sometimes what Krishna gives us is what we want, and sometimes he doesn't give if it's not good for us. But when Krishna gives us what we want, He gives in a way that we get purified. Like in case of Dhruva Maharaj, He gave him big kingdom, but He didn't want it in the end. So same, even if we have any whatever desire, we should approach Krishna, pray to Krishna. But if it's good for us, He'll give us in a way, we'll get purified. And meanwhile, we are doing our services, chanting, reading, everything. So slowly, slowly, those desires will go down and down. So if we see our past, we had so many desires. You know, I want to watch this movie, that movie. Now that desire is not there because you get the higher taste. So by increasing the taste for devotional activities, by taking association, then the other tastes will go away. So then when we develop this higher taste, Param Drishtva Nivartate, then all the material desires will go away. Does that answer your question? No. Okay. So in short, keep chanting. If you have some material desire, approach Krishna. That's the summary, according to me. Is that sufficient? Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll end there. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaur Premanande.